and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State on the Michigan Talk Network. Happy to have you here. Winding down January. Whatever winter we've had so far, we had a day of winter. A little bit of snow finally came in. It's finally sticking to the ground. We're getting a little bit of ice, which we'll talk about that here while we have it and while we can find it. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the Ultimate Fishing Show down in Novi, ran into our good friend Brian Brosdahl, talked with him and his wife Heather for a little bit, looked for Keith Stanton. He had his booth banned, but he wasn't there, so we decided we'll drag him here on the show. The show being brought to you, of course, by Not Just Guns and Mason. Find them online, notjustguns.com. Their Wednesday night auctions happen, and Thursday morning you can go get your gun, or you can go during their regular hours of operation and pick out a new or pre-owned firearm. They're definitely the good guys in the gun business. On Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, notjustguns.com. Some great friends of ours. And we mentioned briefly Keith Stanton, who joins us here right now. Pikespearing.com is his website. You've seen him on Michigan Out of Doors a number of times, and he's joined us here at least once a year over the course of the 14 we've done this, and he's joining us right now. And you found ice.
I am standing on hard water, Grant. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, man. Very good to have you here. And, of course, I try and get to you early, but since this is the first good ice we've had, there's been some problems on Houghton Lake with a number of people going through in snowmobiles, one truck. I know Mark Martin was out there recently for his ice fishing vacation school. He's headed up to, I believe, Burt Mullet Lake area as we speak. We're trying to get him for the show. And the lower portion of Michigan has been kind of iffy. I mean, even some of the up north stuff, as we mentioned. But you found some good ice. It's not a ton, but it's enough. It's safe.
Yeah, I mean, we're standing on at least 4.5 inches, and it's 4.5 inches of good, solid, hard ice. I will say there's not much snow on top of this lake, where everywhere else, on land, there's 5 to 7 inches of snow, and the wind must have blew it off. But, everyone told me, be careful, and it's punky, and not the case. So I encourage guys to be safe, first of all, but go check the ice, because I was pleasantly surprised today.
Now, are you jigging for pike? Are you spearing? Are you just doing the standard panfish thing? What are you up to today?
Well, I'm out of bluegill, and Mama wants some bluegill, so we're catching bluegills today. and I'm watching guys pull them out as we speak. It's a wonderful thing. It's always such a good feeling to get out on the ice for that first time, especially when we've had to wait so long this year to do it.
Yeah, and how are they responding? Is it that first ice feel? I mean, we've had some cold temperatures, but we've not had the ice. So everybody knows that first ice is that big bang time when they first come on. But here we're mid to late January.
So far, I mean, it sure does feel like first ice, and maybe that's just the placebo effect that I'm feeling. But, we have, between me and my uncle, we've been here maybe 35 minutes, and we've got about 20 fish on the ice between the two of us, so I'd say the bite is strong.
Well, good, man. We've got some decent, steady weather coming. It's going to be a warm-up, again, towards this weekend, so please be careful. Take, if you've got flotation gear, fantastic. If not, make sure you've got spikes at the ready. Maybe you've got a spud with you to test the ice as you go. But just don't go out there on the sled, man. Don't go dragging the sled out there thinking that, yeah, I can take it from snowmobile, somebody else did it. No, it's not the case.
For sure. And the flotation suits, I mean, they're great, but don't think you're invincible, because once you get out of the water, you still have an uphill battle. So, just make sure it's safe. That's the number one thing right now. I know everyone's dying to get out there, but in due time.
Absolutely. Keith Stanton is our guest here. Pikespearing.com is his website. That's the thing that we know Keith the best for. He's out doing some pan fishing right now. I want to talk a little bit about some of the new stuff you have. You make your own pike killer, you know, lures, the decoys for pike fishing. Of course, they were available at the Ultimate Fishing Show. But you've got a new lineup. You've got some rattles in there. You've got some new bright colors. And how are those being received?
They're being received well. I wish I could try them out, you know, myself. But no, everyone loves them, and the rattles especially. You know, it's a new addition that I've been making this year. But guys have been doing that for years, and I've used them in the past, other brands. And you know, on certain days, those rattles really make a difference. And it's just a subtle rattle, but it is just enough to really get them worked up.
You know, Keith, and I'll say this because I've been one to fall victim to this, but I've learned over the years that it's not necessarily something we have to do. We spend so much money on lures with these realistic paint schemes when instead it's just a general shape and bright colors for these pike decoys. They're not looking for a realistic looking fish. They're looking for flash and something that's going to get their attention.
Pretty much, and probably the best example of that is something that's kind of taken the spearing world by storm, really commercially for the last 2 years, but guys have been doing it for years, is these things that we make and sell now called teaser balls. And basically, Duran, what this is it's a golf ball that's painted white and or, you know, any variation of colors. My favorite one is red and white, of course, and you put this golf ball down the hole, believe it or not, with a blade on the bottom of it, spin it around, and the pike are just mesmerized by it. Pike are curious by nature, so, you know, I say you throw an old work boot down there that's a little bit flashy and you bring one in, you know. But, yeah, it's the realistic thing. I stay away from that, really, just because they're so curious. I want them to come and do investigate, and they don't have to eat it. You know, we can force feed them with a spear. So, yeah, bright colors and flashy are definitely my go-to.
And this whole golf ball thing, look, I've lost plenty in the water, but I've never put one down there intentionally, especially to go fishing.
I got the show there. We had them on display, you know, and I had so many people like, all right, I feel really stupid, but I got to ask you, what is this for? I was like, no, that's a fair question, sir. You know, I mean, it's a golf ball with a, yeah, it's a. But I sell a ton of them. And guys, you know, you see the videos all over Facebook, the pike just, very seldom do you see them hit these golf balls. They come in and just, they're mesmerized by it. They circle all the way around it and get a good look at it. But, you know, it's a golf ball.
Fortunately, pike don't golf, and they don't know.
That's right, right.
Keith Stanton from PikeSpearing.com is our guest here right now. Keith, you know, you fish tip-ups, and I've fished tip-ups in the past, and when I think of the golf ball, I think of these little wobble dots, or whatever they call them, that you would put just above your live bait. I mean, it kind of glows, it kind of makes a flash when your pike minnow is kind of going back, but that golf ball seems to be a much bigger version of the same.
Yeah, pretty much. Of course, there's no hooks on the golf ball, because, you know, you're spearing over it, and just, you know, like I said, they don't hit that a lot. But with tip-ups, that's a very good point, Duran. You know, I use my pike killer lure a lot on the tip-ups, and I've heard a lot of guys say it's too much junk on the tip-up. But my experience, what I found is there are some days where you can't put enough junk on the tip-up as far as the wobble balls or beads or just something. And then, of course, there's other days where they do want it, just plain Jane, small treble hook, and a minnow. Mm-hmm. And so I always tell guys, you know, we're allowed to run two or three lines here, three lines in Michigan. If I'm running three tip-ups, one or two of them have, you know, are covered in junk or lures, and the other one is natural. And whichever one the fish are keying in on any particular day, I'll switch everything over, because they are, it seems like once they find something they like on a particular day, almost every fish will follow suit. It's very interesting.
All right, Keith Stanton is our guest here. PikeSpearing.com is where you can find Keith. We're going to talk more with him in a minute. Maybe let him catch a fish or two during the commercial break, and we'll come back to him in just a few minutes. We're Wild Michigan, being brought to you by Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127, all over the world on our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Make sure to hit up our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast. Find the links to our favorite friends there. Also our sponsors of the show. Also, you can find out what we're doing outside of Wild Michigan. We've mentioned, of course, that we have our own business working on estate sales and buying and selling your vintage items. If you've got stuff, maybe even some old hunting and fishing stuff laying around, by all means, contact me via the website, wildmichiganradio.com. My number is on there, 517-712-3529. That's my cell number. You can call me direct. I have no problem with that. No problem giving it out to the world. That's how business gets done. And we're speaking with Keith Stanton. PikeSparing.com is his website. Of course, Keith, you've been creating your own pike killer lures, jigs, and decoys for quite some time. But there are, Keith, I want to talk to you about this a little bit, because in the realm of pike spearing decoys, there are some that, I mean, can be worth a lot of money out there if they're made by a specific person or they have a specific look to them.
Oh, for sure. And I went down that rabbit hole on eBay, and it's bad. I kind of have that nostalgic antique bug that you have, Duran, and finally I just had to stop because there's so many decoys that made it from the 50s and 60s, and you know, those ones aren't super valuable, but you'll spend $30, $40 on a decoy, and it gets out of hand. But some of the ones, you know, yeah, I think the Oscar Peterson was a famous carver from Cadillac. I think those went upwards of $25,000 for a decoy that you're obviously never going to use. I mean, it's just a conversation piece. It's really cool, and that's what's so great. That's one of the things that keeps me making decoys, is to be kind of a part of that and kind of wonder, daydream where my stuff will be in 30 to 50 years, you know?
Well, I tell you what, you get a world-class pike on one of your decoys, you will have a path beaten to your door. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all
that's
there is
to fact.
It.
That's a fact.
Because everybody, I mean, this is the sickness that is being a sportsman or woman in this world, is once somebody, hey, what'd you catch that on? You know, it becomes a trend. I mean, look, it could be the most odd thing. Randy Howell proved this at the Bassmaster Classic a few years ago when he had a sponsor with Livingston Lures, had never thrown any of their lures. They had some digital buzzing sound or something in them, completely legal to use in tournament. He picks this red crawfish out, okay, throws it, ends up winning the tournament with that lure. In the press conference, no one asked him, hey, what made you decide to use that, except for me. I stood up and I said, Randy, I said, you just won the Bassmaster Classic. According to what I said, talked to you earlier, you've never thrown those lures before, or even that one especially. They're your sponsor. What made you go to that? He's like, man, he goes, I don't know. He's like, I looked at it. And he goes, hey, that looks cool. And he said, I threw it, and it seemed to be the right thing to throw, you know? And it's just, I mean, that seemed to me the most obvious question, but it had an answer I didn't expect.
For sure. And that's why I tell folks when I do my seminars and stuff, I'm changing colors constantly, because you just never know what's going to get them to go, you know? And don't be stuck in your ways. I'm a guy that likes to listen to other people and learn what they're doing so I can try to apply and or adapt. And over the years, it's just made me a more successful fisherman. And I'm not saying you're stealing guys' ideas and things like that. It's not about that. As this community, especially the pike spearing community, is so small, everyone really needs to just help one another out and help each other be successful. But it goes back to that. You never know what's going to work, so don't be stuck in your ways. You know, to try new things. I tell everyone that.
You know, I agree completely. I mean, look, we're all. You know, creatures of habit sometimes, unfortunately, but curiosity as well. Necessity is the mother of invention, and that's where a lot of us, like yourself, go and say, you know, I may not be able to build that better mousetrap, but I'm going to build something that works for me. And if it works for me, it's going to work for other people.
Yep, exactly. And it's such a good feeling to see it work for other people. On this level that I'm at, I have a real personal relationship with a lot of my customers, and it's just so gratifying and fulfilling to know that you were able to help somebody get their personal best pike. You know, it's just a really good feeling.
Now, speaking with Keith Stanton here, pikespearing.com is his website. The pike killer lures and the decoys. When you say that you're changing colors, I mean, it's not a 3 seconds, you know, up, down, up, down, up. Okay, that didn't work. Go to the next one. What kind of time are you allotting for those changes?
I run about 15 minutes on each decoy before I'll switch it out. The only difference on that or variation of that is if I have a pike sitting on the outside of the hole or one that comes cruising through and takes off quick and I don't get a shot at it, I'll quick switch up a color. And a lot of times, just by doing that, it just piques their curiosity. They just want to come back in and check out what's new, you know what I mean? And so about every 15 minutes is standard, unless you got that extenuating circumstance where you're trying to actually draw a fish in.
Now, I know this is kind of, you know, old school, somewhat rudimentary in its use, but with those types of decoys and the jigging things, are you using any electronics like an AquaView under there?
For sure. I'm almost always using a camera in the spear hole, and mainly it's to capture footage, to throw onto a DVD or to, you know, just highlight the success I'm having with my equipment. But the camera sure does make it. It makes it more fun. It just really does. Just being able to see, you do see some fish that you wouldn't have seen without it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a helpful tool. Not a necessary tool, but definitely a helpful tool.
No, I from personal experience, I took my wife out for one of the first few times she went ice fishing. Her response of, honey, something just went by the camera and it took a long time to go, was pretty exciting. And I got to physically watch how a minnow I've had underneath the ice for a while versus one that was fresh reacted with one fish that would watch it. I mean, I got to change because of that. And I mean, they're not expensive anymore. The AquaView systems can be as expensive as you want to be, as involved as you want to be, but I mean, for the most part, are fairly inexpensive and can do wonders for what you miss.
Oh, for sure. And especially for taking kids out on the ice. I mean, my son, I bet you get an extra hour out of a young person that could be bored, or even if the fish aren't biting, but they're down there, it gives them something to watch, and it just adds so much to that experience for them that anyone with kids, it's a great investment just to get them on the ice and catch them while they're young. You know what I mean? Light that fire while they're young.
Absolutely, man. It's like if you ever want to, teach a kid patience, take him out squirrel hunting.
Right,
look, man, the things we've learned from you over the course of the year, and there may not have been like a million tips in the segment, which we don't care about. Look, it's about talking to the person making the product, finding out a few tips about how they're using them and applying them to what we do out there, man. That's why we drag you in here, and we appreciate it, and we know you're on the ice, and your uncle's probably filling up the bucket faster than you are right now.
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on them.
But
so I appreciate you having me every year, Grant. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And you have a great audience, so I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, anytime, man. Again, pikespearing.com. You know what? We'll probably try and get you on before the ice is gone in the next month or so. We appreciate your time as always. Keith Stanton, pikespearing.com. Appreciate you, man, here on Wild Michigan.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the Great Lakes State on wildmichiganradio.com and all over the world as well. You can find us on our podcast there on our website. And bringing you this is our friend Not Just Guns in Mason. Very happy to have them here. And Our condolences to our good friend Ted Nugent, who lost his brother last week. His brother passed away, and I'm telling you what, man, and I've said this about Toby, Ted's son, friend of the show, and all around good guy. The Nugent genetics are very strong in that family, and had I ever seen Ted's brother in public, I would have swore it was Ted himself. And Toby, of course, sounds exactly like Ted now. But Ted's brother John passed away a week ago, and our condolences are with Ted, his family, and his brother's family, and we wish them all the best from here forward. So Ted's been, you know, in and out part of this show for many, many years, and we appreciate that. And somebody that's been consistent on this show, teaching fishing and all about the walleye, and has expanded that, is Lance Valentine. How are you, Lance?
I'm doing great, Dran. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much. And teaching fishing is official. All of the things have been changed over here. We're now teaching fishing. And you have a new method for teaching fishing, which kind of, what did it really debut last week? Was it this week it debuted?
Second Tuesday of January we debuted.
Okay. So not that far ago, not that long ago, rather. Yep. It debuted, and you guys are really taking all of this to the masses in a new way.
Yeah, you know, so we always had to, you know, go somewhere and do a seminar, and time becomes more valuable, not just to me, but you know, to people aren't going to come and sit through a 3-hour seminar at Gander Mountain for 6 weeks in a row like we used to do. Things have changed, so. We kind of hopped on social media. We're doing a lot more on social media, a lot of stuff on our website. And we thought, you know what, let's take what we did at what we built at Walleye 101. We think a very, very good way of teaching, an easy way to understand, break everything down, talk in detail about what's important and kind of leave the stuff that's not important out of the conversation. Let's take that and let's expand that, because people need to learn how to catch smallmouth bass and largemouth bass and northern pike and steelhead, and they need to learn how to ice fish. They need to learn how to catch perch and bluegills and crappies. And let's take what we know. Let's bring in people that we know can teach the same way we do inside our what we call our 8-step format. Let's bring them in and let's create a way that everybody can see them. So we kick off the Teach and Fishing platform. Basically, on our Teach and Fishing Facebook pages, where everything kind of happens, or we can find out what's happening. And we do basically 4 events a month. The first Tuesday of the month, we do what's called a pro chat. It's myself and 2 other captains, and we just kind of run down, you know, maybe anything we've heard that month, maybe if we've done a little bit of fishing, a little fishing report, where we're going to be, you know, with our seminars and our charters and all the things we do. Then we just have a little 45-minute chat about what's going on in the fishing world, kind of what's going on in our part of the country, who we've talked to, what's going on. Second Tuesday of the month is our first studio show of the month, and that is where I break down one of our 8 steps. So we teach fishing what we call the 8-step method, and we break down one of those steps in detail. Third Tuesday of the month, we are in studio with a interview show, and we just wrapped up doing an ice fishing show. So the third Tuesday of February will be my good friend Mark Panazak, who guides on Saginaw Bay. We'll be talking Saginaw Bay ice fishing the third Tuesday of February. And then the last Tuesday of the month, we do a 2-hour audience interactive on our Facebook page called Live Q&A, where we're going to wrap up what happened over the month. If you got any questions or anything you saw over the month or any questions about anything, I've got myself and 1 or 2 of my other captains live on Facebook, and we are able to interact and answer people's questions. So we've got a lot of things going on. You know, the website's there all the time with information, constantly getting new information, new articles, new video clips, new stuff. So we're really, really, really excited about what we're doing.
Now, Lance Valentine is joining us here. You can find them on Facebook, facebook.com/teachinfishing. Also, teachinfishing.com is the website. And the live Q&A coming up on the 28th at 7:30 on the Facebook. Because it's the Facebook, people. I don't know why they just call it Facebook. It's the Facebook if you are like 50 and older. But you know, I mean, look at where we were, Lance, when we started this show, you know, in 2006. I mean, smartphones were not what they were.
Yeah.
You know, the live streaming, things of that nature, social media, didn't really even exist then. I mean, to what we know it. I mean, we had, what was that thing called? MySpace.
Yeah, the way we communicate is different, right? So we try to come up with a way that we could share the knowledge that we have, and the way we do it, you know, to me it's very important that we keep the message, right? We've never been a big, you know, buy a blue and silver raffle and throw it by a rock pile and you're going to catch something. We've never taught like that. We dig into a subject of why, and that's why our 8 steps are so important. You know, we have 8 things you have to do to catch fish. We list them in order of importance, and that's what the show is. The show that we're doing right now on the second and third Tuesday actually called the 8 steps, and we teach everything inside that 8-step format. So everything we teach has a reason, has a method, and people can actually take the information and use it where it applies to a particular step and then figure out everything around it. So we have a very, very particular way of teaching that I will not compromise on. So finding a way to do that without even getting a car and drive around the state, you know, 28 days out of 30 every month and have guys have to come, We know that social media allows us to reach anglers that we probably never would reach. And now, as we're expanding species, right? So now this is now a nationwide product, because what we're going to talk about here and some of the people we're going to talk to, you know, they are West Coast steelhead fishermen. They are down south crappie fishermen. They are middle of the world, Kentucky, Tennessee catfish guys. We've got all these people that are going to be on the program over the next couple of years. And we're just excited about being able to take what we do and take it to the masses, and not just be a Great Lakes area walleye fishing conduit for information. So we're pretty excited about what we can accomplish here.
Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Lance, one thing that I've seen about social media that remains constant, and I hope it will work this way with your new episodes, with the live Q&A especially, is in seminars, there's always a hush when the speaker says, "Do you have any questions?" Why? Because we are always afraid of, air quotes, the dumb question.
Right.
Okay, we're afraid of that, but there technically is no such thing. Look, if you look at social media, if you look at political comments or whatever, there's no such thing as the dumb comment. So what is wrong with asking what you would perceive to be as the dumb question?
And we try, you know, we do a really good job at it, and that's why I have some, you know, one or two other guys with me, because we try to lead into a subject that is going, that we know we're going to give you enough information, you're going to want to ask questions. And you're right. Once that first question gets rolling and we get the first two or three guys to kind of interact, then everybody starts to interact. And now they feel like maybe that quote unquote dumb question is an add-on, not just a standalone dumb question. So now it makes more sense. And so we try to engage, you know, we have people who are consistently, you know, engagers, you know, the same way you probably do on your program. We have guys, you know, we have a pretty consistent 150, 180, 200 viewers right now. And we have, you know, a core group that's there all the time, and they always interact. And that lets the people that aren't used to being here feel a little more comfortable. And, you know, if we see somebody new, or maybe a new area, or maybe a new person, you know, we may ask them, you know, point blank, "Hey, Joe, you know, hey, where do you fish? How do you fish?" And now we get to know that guy a little bit. And maybe what we'll do now is maybe even ask him a question about where and how he fishes, get him engaged, and then he becomes much more engaged in what we're doing. So kind of the same way we did it at seminars, you know, try to make guys comfortable, try to give them good information, try to make them feel like they're part of what we're doing. And that just opens up that relationship part that I think sometimes gets lost in social media. And I'm really proud of how we've kind of developed this. A lot of guys, a couple of people working behind the scenes have done a great job to develop this in a way that lets my personality and my interaction, my relationship that I love for my seminars come through, even through social media.
All right, Lance Valentine is our guest here. We're going to talk more Teaching Fishing here in a couple of minutes. Stick around. We'll come back here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
This is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it can tell.
granddaddy's gun.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here on the Michigan Talk Network. Also via the podcast on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. 24/7, they are available, and we've updated some things. Of course, we have another business that I'm running outside of doing the show. Or if you would like to advertise with the show, by all means, let us know how we can help you. All the contact information for me is there. My cell phone number, very simple, 517-712-3529. Call me if you've got a topic or you got some other business you want to take care of. Happy to do it. And real quickly, Lance, not to get too involved with outside of teaching fishing, but it's really funny that your dad and my daughter are now working together.
Well, when you told me what your daughter was doing, I had a feeling at some point she'd run into my dad. So.
Right. It's a political, we'll just say it's a political thing. And she's like, do you happen to know so-and-so? I'm like, well, you know what? I'm going to ask Lance because that name is entirely too close to his own, especially in that area.
Yeah, that's my dad.
And my daughter, of course, working in that thumb area over in Davison, and I find it very funny. She's becoming a rock star over in that area in her own respect. Thankfully, it's not in radio. But let's get back to the task at hand here, what you're doing with teaching fishing. We have seen an extended period of time to get out onto Lake Erie and in some cases Saginaw Bay. Where people, I'm not kidding, up until beginning of this month, people were out fishing, and the results have been good. It's crazy.
The results should be good. It's basically the kind of results we traditionally see, you know, middle of the winter ice fishing, and obviously with a boat, you've got a lot more maneuverability. You can get more lures in front of the fish. You can move more often than you can ice fishing, but, it's the same. The same place is the same thing. And, one of the things we talked about, I was talking with a buddy the other day, I said, I hope these guys who are getting this extra extended fishing time are really paying attention to where these spots are and how these fish are moving, because next year we may have 4 feet of ice and those fish are going to be in exactly the same place doing the exact same thing, exact same time of year. So I hope people are, saving these waypoints and kind of looking at how these fish are actually moving this time of year, because other than the fishing, we're actually getting a look into midwinter movements of walleyes that we don't usually get. What part of the lake they're using, what part of the water column they're using. We get that look very easily with our sonar when we're in a boat. We don't get that look as easy when we're sitting in a hole, an 8-inch hole on the ice. So I hope the guys are out in their boats that also are ice fishermen are taking advantage of this and keeping some good notes and really paying attention to what the fish are doing this time of year, because they'll be doing the exact same thing next year. If we have, 3, 4, 5 feet of ice, you need to pay attention to what's happening now, because it's going to happen again next year. So fishing has been great. I hope, guys are out catching some nice fish and lots of nice fish. That's fantastic. I just hope our ice fishing guys are paying attention to what's happening and actually use that data in future years when they're actually on the ice and the fish are doing the same thing.
Lance Valentine's our guest here on Wild Michigan. Of course, Teachin' Fishin' is what Lance is doing. TeachinFishin.com, Facebook.com/TeachinFishin' is where you can find him as well. Lance, in speaking with Mark Martin and also with Keith Stanton, our pike spearing expert here on the show this week, the ice that they are seeing, this is like the first ice frenzy that we'll get in December, but here we are towards late January. Excuse me, and we're finding those green weeds, those oxygenated spots that the fish like to hide and look for bait fish this far, this late into the year, because they haven't been covered up with ice and they haven't died off.
Yeah, you can't beat, regardless of what species you're fishing for, you can't beat green weeds any time of the year. And without having ice cover, in particular snow cover, so we do have light penetration, we do have sunlight, we do have photosynthesis going on. Green weeds are everywhere. So we're seeing some guys catching some fish in I'm going to say, quote-unquote, non-traditional locations for January, because they are still able to fish, especially the deeper weeds, the deeper cabbage and the deeper coontail staying green. And that's a huge advantage. Anytime, we've talked about this, even in the middle of summertime, we've talked about how valuable these 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-foot deep weed beds are, particularly in the summertime when the water is really warm and the fish are looking for oxygen cover and bait. But this is a great example of that. Green weeds are always good, because if you can find them right now, you're going to catch some fish. And I can't imagine a week or two we're not going to start seeing some really, really excellent perch fishing reports from guys who are still fishing these deep green weed beds as the perch kind of start making that movement. Usually that last part of January, first 2-3 weeks of February, they start to slide in really shallow. And the big perch are looking for, you know, for extra food to feed up and get fat for wintertime. I think we're going to see some really, really good perch fishing reports come from some of these shallow water weed beds in the next couple of weeks.
Now, one of the things I noticed is it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny where you glean your information from. I mean, it could be anywhere. Yesterday, I was in Marshall, or actually day before yesterday, whatever the case. I was in Marshall at a little chicken restaurant in downtown Marshall. And the sign in their place said, you know, the smelt numbers, our smelt is down. We're trying to get it wherever we can this year. It seems the fish went deep early and they were not able to catch the numbers of smelt than they normally do. The Canadian fishermen that do that and the big waters where they catch smelt. And it's like, man, you know what? As an angler, that really spoke volumes to me as to how weird this is.
Well, but you got to remember, too, though. So this is how this all works together. And this is one of the things we try to teach is, you know, no information is bad information, but knowing what to do with it is more important, right? So, you know, we have this huge population of walleyes on Lake Erie, the best populations, the best numbers we've ever had. You know, 2003 was kind of our banner year hatch. We've had two hatches in the last 6 years that were as good, if not better, than 2003. You know, they're talking close to 100, maybe even a little over 100 million adult walleye in Lake Erie. Well, those fish have to eat, and as the smelt population has gotten better the last couple of years, we're starting to see, and we have tracking studies to show this, you know, two of the biologists that I know who spent a lot of time on Lake Erie doing some tracking, we're seeing more and more walleye earlier in the year go from the western basin to the eastern basin to eat all those smelt. So we've got this big, we had this little mini explosion of smelt populations the last 3 or 4 years. We had this huge explosion of walleye population, adult walleye specifically in Lake Erie. Those fish have to eat. Well, there's a food source. And number one, they like. Number two is very easy to get at. Number three is very high in protein. Number four is in a temperature range that's very comfortable for the walleye. Well, now you've got extra predation on the smelt, so you start to see these low smelt numbers. So the information that you get, if you put all the puzzle pieces together, and that's one of those things we try to teach in our pattern fishing. When we talk about pattern fishing, is putting all these little pieces of the puzzle together to understand what the fish are actually doing. So, yeah, I'm definitely not surprised that smelt numbers are down, because we know through the tracking and through where and when guys are catching fish and how they're catching, what they're catching them on, the size, shape, and action of their lures and how deep they're fishing, we know there's a lot more walleyes heading east and feeding on smelt, which therefore results into a little dip in the smelt population. So you start to see that at the restaurant. Something that simple starts to give you a clue of what's happening with the fishery on Lake Erie.
And who'd have thought a stop at the Speedy Chick in Marshall would have presented See? That kind of information? But seriously, it just really struck me as strange as an angler and a sportsman. You know, I'm like, huh, I never thought. And I really have to thank them for kind of spelling that all out for the people that want smelt, that would never think of that any other reason.
Yep, and that's a lot of it. Is the walleye population has just gotten so big? They need more. You know, they can't all live in the same place. They need, you know, every acre of water can only support X amount of pounds of game fish. So these fish have to spread out, and they have to get alternate food. So we've always known the western basin fish, especially the big ones, have gone east early in the year to chase smelt and stay in deeper water, deeper colder water. We know that, but the numbers of fish that are doing that has dramatically increased in the last 4 or 5 years, been a huge uptick, which means there's more fish in the western basin. They need to find room in the eastern basin, but they're staying deep. That data right there tells us that there are a lot of smelt, because those walleyes aren't, they're going to go wherever they need to go to eat. They're going to be in water too warm or too cold. They're finding a perfect temperature range, because smelt kind of prefer that bottom end of a walleye's preferred temperature range. Walleyes like to be cool if they can, especially in the summertime. Here's all these bait fish. We had this uptick in movement of fish going east and going deeper. It absolutely told us there were, you know, big smelt numbers, and now we're starting to see a decline on the commercial end because there are more walleyes feeding on those smelt.
Awesome, man. Appreciate your time as always. And again, you never know, and I never know where the hell questions are going to come from, but I know where I'm getting my answers. And
there
they're
going to
be from Captain Lance Valentine, teachinfishing.com, the website, of course, facebook.com/teachinfishing. Make sure to get in on the live Q&A on Facebook January 28th. 7:30 p.m. You can see the recorded shows, if you will. You can check the podcast with Lance on our show at wildmichiganradio.com. Excuse me, brother. Appreciate it as always.
All right, bye. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. It's Wild Michigan once again being brought to you by Not Just Guns on the Michigan Talk Network.